Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 86 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Cody Robinson.
Police in Moorhead are trained to respond to possible active shooters.
Freshman move-in day begins tomorrow at Moorhead State University.
Education leaders are working to implement a new school safety law.
Breathitt County's judge executive has been indicted.
In sports, MSU's football team previewed the 2019 season on Tuesday.
Taking a look at your region's weather tonight, a 10% chance of showers and thunderstorms before 8 p.m. Partly cloudy with a low around 64. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high near 84. Tomorrow night, mostly clear with a low around 62. Friday, mostly sunny with a high near 85. Friday night, partly cloudy with a low around 66. And Saturday, mostly sunny with a high near 87 degrees.
As gun violence across the country increases, citizens in Moorhead are concerned about daily activities and community events which lead to large gatherings in the city's downtown. Rowan County Schools began classes last week, and Moorhead State University classes begin on Monday. Moorhead Police Chief Derek Blevins says his department conducts training whenever school is not in session.
We're training because that's the bigger buildings, you know, that we can get into that are empty, you know, during Christmas break or summer break. We usually try to get a school, you know, during those time periods and train. We also, you know, our special response team trains, you know, every month. So there's constantly reviewing tactics and things of that nature. And we also train for open areas such as parks or, you know, an event that could happen in a large parking lot or something like that.
Blevin says it is important for the public to see a police presence at community events so they can feel safe.
New student move-in days at Moorhead State will be Thursday and Friday this week, and it's going to be a big crowd. That was the update at City Council during its regular monthly meeting this week. Council member Melissa Patrick says during the two-day ordeal, it's really just best to avoid campus and downtown if possible, and the rest of council agrees.
Let's, you know, get online and find out.
If you need to shop this week, don't do it.
Yes, don't get your grocery shopping done. Just don't. You want to watch the show, come out and sit along any of the roads.
Scheduled times for new student move-in days are from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Thursday and Friday.
Residents are worried about their safety as the response time of emergency services is increasing across the nation. Officials in Floyd County are blaming the delays on a shortage of personnel. Daniel Gullett is the chief of Wheelwright Fire Department. He tells WYMT this is nothing new.
On this end of the county, it's usually an hour at least. This is nothing new. This has been a trend for some time.
Officials say repairing the issue will not be a quick process. To combat the personnel shortage, Lifeguard Emergency Medical Services is offering a $5,000 paramedic hire-on bonus, tuition assistance, and loan reimbursement.
A petition in Ashland did not have the support needed to go on the November ballot. WMKY's Ty Martin has the story.
Tuesday was the deadline to submit 1,700 signatures on a petition that, if successful, would have put a proposal to turn Ashland's government from a manager commission plan to a mayor council plan. The latter would have given the mayor significantly more power over hiring and firing and budgetary decisions. The Daily Independent reports Boyd County Clerk Debbie Jones said the required signatures for the petition to be successful were not submitted. The petition was filed at the end of June. For WMKY News, I'm Tom Martin.
The Catholic Diocese of Lexington is breaking ground on a new community center aimed at helping the city's Hispanic population. The proposed 12,000-square-foot facility is at the corner of Alexandria and Davenport, and it's been in the works for 5 years. Jim Bennett with the Bennett Family Foundation is funding the center. He tells the Lexington Herald Leader that the project has been a passion.
When you look around and you see the needs and the gaps and what they don't have, we thought, you know, our way of giving back is we need to build this center and provide these different kinds of social services and educational opportunities.
Bennett says services include legal advice, medical screenings, and English language classes. Bennett says the center's location is ideal, with an estimated 10,000 Hispanic residents within a 20-minute walk of the facility. It's expected to be complete by August of 2020.
A section of Mammoth Cave National Park in Kentucky will be closed for renovations. WMKY's Keneally Roberts has the story.
The renovations will begin this fall and close down a 2-mile section of cave from the Snowball Room to Grand Central Station for over a year. Park officials say the dirt and stone floors have degraded, and the project will make the path smoother, more durable, and more user-friendly. The Grant Avenue tour and the Wild Cave tour will be unavailable for the duration of the closure. Other tours, such as Domes and Dripstones and Frozen Niagara, will only be closed for part of the renovations. For WMKY News, I'm Keneally Roberts.
Ohio continues to chip away at firearms restrictions, and one bill is being considered by lawmakers that would allow people 21 and older to carry concealed weapons without needing a permit. House Bill 178 is sponsored by Republicans Ron Hood and Tom Brinkman, along with more than 20 other legislators. Toby Hoover of the Ohio Coalition Against Gun Violence is convinced that the bill would put communities at even greater risk.
And that is a pro-gun piece of legislation. It's been introduced to allow people to carry concealed weapons without a background check, without a permit, without any kind of training. It would allow anybody that's not prohibited by law in some other way to go ahead and carry a gun.
The Ohio House will likely vote on the bill before the year's end. According to the Gifford's Law Center to Prevent Gun Violence, Ohio has the 22nd highest gun death rate among states. And on its annual scorecard of state gun safety laws, the organization gives the state a D grade. More than 1,400 Ohio residents lose their lives to gun violence each year.
School safety is a top priority of many Kentucky education leaders who are working to implement a recently signed school safety law. The law includes adding metal detectors and school resource officers and requires teachers keeping doors locked. WKYT reports it also addresses students who make hoax school threats. John Akers with the Kentucky Center for School Safety says the new law states these students face felony charges if they commit the crime.
You need to have those kids stand before a judge and explain themselves why they thought that they could do something like that. If we don't flex strong on this one, we're going to have the kids in and out all the time, and everybody will be kind of afraid to even come to school. 99% of these threats are hoaxes.
A school safety marshal will visit unannounced next school year to make sure all procedures are being followed.
Bourbon County High School and Middle School went into a brief lockdown this morning. A school resource officer tells WKYT a middle school student went to the principal reporting a potential firearm at the school. A Lexington K-9 unit responded and cleared the middle school. The lockdown has since been lifted, and officials say there is no threat at the school.
Breathitt County Judge Executive Jeff Noble was indicted Monday by a grand jury. He is accused of buying lumber with the county funds for private use. Earlier this month, the Breathitt County Sheriff's Office received a complaint about lumber theft by the fiscal court earlier this month. Major Michael Wolf with the Sheriff's Office tells WYMT a person asked Noble to buy lumber to fix a bridge on private property back in April.
The individual talking to him asked him if it would get Judge Noble in trouble, to which Judge Noble replied, "No, I can write it off as if we used the lumber at the county garage."
Noble is currently on a pre-planned vacation with his family and is advised to turn himself in once he returns. His bond is set for $250,000.
Former House Speaker Jeff Hoover and two other Republican lawmakers have agreed to drop their suit against a former GOP staffer whom they accuse of violating the terms of a settlement agreement. WUKY's Josh James has more.
Attorneys representing Hoover, along with Representatives Michael Meredith and Jim DeCesare, have agreed to halt legal proceedings against a former staffer who accused them of sexual harassment. The lawmakers had alleged that the staffer violated the settlement by revealing details about her accusations to others. In response, the legislators were asking that the staffer return $117,000 they had paid her. The lawyer representing the lawmakers, Greg Jackson, did not tell the Lexington Herald-Leader why his clients moved to drop the suit. Two lawsuits related to sexual harassment allegations remain ongoing, however. Former House staffers Daisy Olivo and Brad Metcalf filed whistleblower suits, arguing they were retaliated against for reporting sexual harassment in the General Assembly. In Lexington, I'm Josh James reporting.
Taking a quick look at sports, Morehead State football held its annual Media Day event Tuesday afternoon. Head coach Rob Tenier fielded questions about the upcoming season. When asked about the large turnover from last year's team to this one, Tenier said it's something most programs the size of MSU have come to expect.
You know, when you look at our blueprint, I mean, that's pretty common. You know, we're going to have a recruiting class every year of 30 to 36 guys. You know, and this year what we've done is, you know, we've tried to target some junior college guys and even some transfers. And I think that's really allowed us to, you know, develop a little more depth on our football team, especially in our defense. And that was a priority for us.
Morehead State is looking to improve on its 3-8 record from last year. The Eagles open the season in 2 weeks when they host Union College. The Ohio Valley Conference has honored 100 Morehead State athletes. WMKY's Nacogdoches Miller has the story. We'll have a look at stocks with Bud Luke right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center, offering paper and document shredding services for Morehead and Round County residents, community groups, businesses, and industry. Secure, confidential, and HIPAA compliant. Drop off or pick up by appointment at 784-1250. That's 784-1250. Located near the Morehead City Park, the Community Recycling Center, keeping the environment clean and green. 784-1250, Facebook, and online at moreheadrecycling.org.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Stocks plunged as the Dow Jones experienced its worst performance of the year after the bond market flashed a troubling signal about the U.S. economy. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a loss of 800.49 at 25,479.42. The S&P 500 was down 85.72. at 2840.60, and the NASDAQ Composite was down 242.42 at 7,773.94. And, of course, the yield on the benchmark 10-year Treasury note briefly broke below the 2% or the 2-year rate. We had the so-called inverted yield curve, and this is a market phenomenon that has been a reliable indicator of economic recessions in the past, and investors, which were already worried about the state of the economy, rushed to long-term safe havens, and this pushed the yield on the benchmark 30-year Treasury bond to a new record low today. Bank stocks led the declines as it gets tougher for the group to make a profit lending money in such a low interest rate environment. Bank of America and Citigroup fell 4.6% and 5.3% respectively. J.P. Morgan was down 4.2%. The financial sector itself dipped into correction territory, down more than 10% from a recent high. Investors are increasingly worried about a global economic slowdown, as this was demonstrated in the weaker-than-expected data in China that was reported today. Official data showed growth of China's industrial output slowed to 4.8% in July from a year earlier, the weakest growth in 17 years. And adding to fears today also was the fact that Germany had a negative GDP print, which now raises the risk that Europe's largest economy is on the verge of falling into a recession. Eurozone GDP also grew by just 0.2% quarter on quarter, which was a significant slowdown from the 0.4% growth in the first quarter. In the commodities markets, oil was very weak, down 3.5%. Gold was up 0.7%. In Europe, stocks had a rough day, with the Stock 600 index down 1.68%. In the Far East, stocks actually were up, with the Nikkei up 1%. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition.
I'm Cody Robinson.
And I'm Leanne Akers. Now back to All Things Considered.